This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play, so I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen.
It's nothing but Netflix here on RHAP. I'm Josh Wigler, as always, here by the joined by the star. It's the star of nothing but Netflix, Chappelle. Chappelle, hello.
Hey, welcome back, Josh. You know, last week you and I talked about Irish Wish with our special guest. With our special guest, Kirsten McKinnis. And this week we get to talk about Three Body Problem here on Nothing But Netflix.
Totally exactly how it worked out in the continuity of Nothing But Netflix. I was joining you and Kirsten talking about, gosh, what was the Irish Wish? Was it a leprechaun? Was it not a leprechaun? Still, the jury is out. We just don't know.
We've heard it both ways. I've heard pro-leprechaun, anti-leprechaun takes, but here on Nothing But Netflix, that's what we're here to explore. Every week, Josh and I talk about the hottest show on Netflix.
Talk about whether or not the leprechaun is real.
Yeah, yeah.
No, one day, Bob and Akiva need a podcast, I believe.
Yeah, that's a different leprechaun. We talked about Leprechaun in the Hood. Josh, that's Josh and Akiva need a podcast. Obviously, there's been a switcheroo here.
That's all right. There's been, if you can't tell by now, folks, we've found ourselves in a bit of a body problem where it seems that I have absorbed the life and responsibilities of one Rob Sesternino, or at the very least, his chair on Nothing But Netflix this week. Maybe, Chappelle, Rob got a little spooked at the notion of another show from the Game of Thrones creators and just needed to go and hide somewhere, which is not the wrong instinct, I think.
We have been burnt before. I know you and Rob took a big L with that one. Y'all were there from the beginning. Y'all did a rewatch with that one. Josh, you were fighting the good fight. You were telling people, no, listen, I swear, it's not as bad as it looks.
Yeah. You remember in 2019 when I had like a relatively public mental break in the podcast universe? Mm-hmm. Do you know that year was also the year Game of Thrones ended? I just wonder if the things are linked.
You're the Daenerys Targaryen of podcasting, you know. That's when you were fine, and then all of a sudden it was like, wait,
Chakaris, burn it all down. Well, I'm excited to burn it all down with you today, talking Three Body Problem. Rob is not here. It's gonna be me and Chappelle on this one. Chappelle and I talked the other day, and Chappelle, you're like, can you drive this one? I'm driving a lot, I'm kickbacking, I'm doing all the things. I'm like, yeah, I got this. I'll help you out. I can do this. I can take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that you're here, because like you said, this is from the minds of the Game of Throners, and you are the king of the Throners. I've heard a lot of coverage. I never got to really talk to you about Game of Thrones, so maybe we get to talk about this and it ends on a much better note.
We'll see. I don't know what the Throner equivalent of the Three Body Problem is. I think like you maybe just get to a certain kind of owner, and that's one of the one of the at least three body problems you have. By the way, if you only have three body problems, it's like, you are blessed, I think.
I think so.
Like three body problems, if you're my age, is like an A+, gold star.
Yeah. I'm a man of a certain age as well, and so I wake up with several body problems today. Seven rule for the people who are initiated into that conversation. But three of them is a lot. Now, Josh, I still... I've watched two episodes of the show now.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure why it's called Three Body Problem. Yeah, but maybe you can tell me.
We'll work on it. Chappelle and I, we watched the first two episodes of Three Body Problem. So we're going to talk through the first two episodes. We watched the first episode. We're like, I think I need one more to feel like I can actually maybe intelligently talk about this show. So we watched a second episode of Three Body Problem. We will have a second Three Body Problem podcast next week. We will finish the show between now and next week, and we'll get into full spoilers for all things Three Body Problem. But for people who are not aware, Three Body Problem is a phrase that I'll keep saying multiple times on this podcast. It's from David Benioff and Dan Weiss, as well as Alexander Wu is the third head of the Dragon, though he had nothing to do with Game of Thrones. So don't get mad at him. He's a nice guy. He had nothing to do with it. Benioff and Weiss making their TV debut for the first time since Breaking Hearts Westeros wide with the ending of Game of Thrones as part of their Chappelle. They've got paid, I think, a deal worth $200 million to join the Netflix universe and create programs such as the science fiction epic 8-episode Three Body Problem that premiered on Netflix this past week. $200 million.
That's a lot of money. Did people miss the last two seasons of Game of Thrones? Like, you'd think they'd take a pay cut at this point, right? Like, it's like, maybe give them less money to do this thing. Maybe hedge a little bit. You know, they had a good solid run. They had us in the first half. But then those last two seasons, people talked about this a lot, but there was a lot to be left desired, you know, for me at least. So knowing that they're getting a ton of money for Three Body Problem, it's promising, but also not necessarily, you know, an indicator of how this might turn out. So I'm cautiously optimistic right now.
It was a weird time for the Game of Thrones duo. Game of Thrones ends. It's not particularly well loved, the ending. They tried to do you remember they tried to make this show Confederate on HBO? Do you remember anything about this? This was what if the South had won the Civil War? was going to be the show that those guys were going to make. And fairly swiftly, I think everyone was like, yeah, you can't do that.
You're good.
And so that didn't happen. And then they were attached to make a Star Wars movie. And then that didn't happen either. And there were lots of accusations that Benioff and Weiss were rushing their way through Game of Thrones so they could get to Star Wars. And then by rushing their way through Game of Thrones, perhaps rushed their way out of Disney's good graces is a little bit of an interpretation there. But Netflix is like, listen, our standards are pretty low. You can just show up here. It's fine.
Low is a strong word, but a very accurate one. You know, like, we see people just getting deals on Netflix, 3-4 body move, part problem, part, you know, movie deals. I think Lindsay Lohan had a 6-movie deal. Jennifer Lopez apparently has somebody in really high places at Netflix who keeps just giving her tons and tons of opportunities to make movies. And, you know, we've seen a lot of that from other people as well. So for Netflix to just be shelling out money like this, it's not a total shock.
They have so much money. They have so much money. $200 million is probably nothing for Netflix. So they give it to Benioff and Weiss and say, hey, what do you want to do? And they say, this is a book called The Three Body Problem. It's a Chinese novel. It's the first of a trilogy written by Liu Cixin, I think. I'm probably mispronouncing. And it is not the first time it's been made for TV, Chappelle. Did you know that there is a Chinese version of The Three Body Problem that's actually streamable on Peacock? You could watch it if you were like really into the Netflix Three Body Problem and you want to watch the Chinese version of it based on the Chinese book released in China. 30 episodes of 30 streaming on Peacock, I believe.
Wait, but this says it premiered on January 15, 2023. When did they start producing this one? Because this is a year later, a year and like a couple months later. Were they running these like they're watching the other one being produced and they're like, yeah, I think we could do that
better. Yeah, I do believe that the Netflix adaptation has the blessing of the author. I mean, I would probably bless it too. It's like, oh, you want to make two versions of my show of my book? Yeah, where's my $200 million deal? So I feel like probably not that much, but hopefully he's raking it in. But Benioff and Weiss say, hey, we've got another, you know how we love our books. We want to make another book series into a series of shows. And Netflix said, yes, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And we'll invest $20 million an episode. It is reportedly the most expensive genre show that Netflix has made. The Three Body Problem through two episodes, Chappelle. Worth the price tag? What do you think?
No. $20 million for episode one? What happened? What happened there that cost $20 million?
Yeah.
$40 million in two episodes? What happened? I watched two episodes. Like you said, we watched episode one. And I was like, Josh, I don't really know what we're going to say on nothing. Yeah. Netflix. Like, there's a lot of buildup, but it doesn't lead to much in episode one. But episode two, I'm starting to understand it a lot more. But I think I could have did this for less than $20 million.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's not like they have like, with all due respect to John Bradley, who plays Polly back in the day, who's here, one of a few Game of Thrones alums here on Three Body Problem. With respect to him, the great Davos Seaworth, the High Sparrow is here as well.
So Davos is recommending that. That's the $20 million. They had to get Sir Davos locked in. That's what I got.
Sir Davos is also on the show. It seems like he's like $200 million. Like he has Netflix money. This guy, he's playing He went. He was the Onion Knight. He was the smuggler back in the day. Now he's living large. Like, love these guys. I don't know that you need to like pay them from the $20 million an episode budget. So I'm also kind of watching this being like, where's the money going?
Yeah.
Was it all like the budget goes toward like the stars blink out at one point? Did they do that for real? Did they actually do that? Did they pay some aliens off to turn off the universe for a second? I don't know. Cause it's such an expensive price tag and I don't feel like it really shows on screen so far, but you and I've only watched two episodes. Maybe like everyone who's watched all eight is like, oh, just wait. Episode three immediately, like we do just like film directly on the moon. Something like that.
A dragon shows up, knocks down the wall, you know, it's a whole thing.
The premise of this show does seem to have some Game of Thrones parallels. I do feel like, okay, what's the Three Body Problem? I've never heard of it before. You're talking about it on the thing. Okay, the Game of Thrones people are involved. I still have no idea what the show is about. Maybe not the best title for this show that is sort of an alien invasion show, I think.
Yeah,
kind of.
There's intelligent life out there. They're trying to communicate with it in two different timelines. You know, we see like the past and the present both dealing with this problem. We haven't really figured out what the aliens are able to do, but there's something about the aliens that are causing a countdown. And for some people, they really hate scientists and in the past, but then in the present, it seems like scientists are cool, but also scientists hate themselves because they don't understand why things are not doing things that science said they should do. And then the stars start flickering on and on. Oh, and also there's a video game. Forgot the video game. There's a video game with a headset. It's like VR. But Josh, that's all I got. I don't really know how this all pieces in and why we're calling it the Three Body Problem.
Yeah, so Three Body Problem is, I believe, an actual celestial problem or a formula that has something to do with things that I can't quite understand, solar objects and stuff. So I do think like the show leans really hard into some of the scientific jargon pretty quickly. Like, I feel like the show begins and we don't exactly know who any of these people are. We kind of just cannonball into the narrative after the first scene, at least, which I want to talk about the first episode. But like, we're really sort of like we're inserted into this world where all of our main characters are scientists, physicists, nanotechnologists. I don't know. And they are having a freak out, a collective freak out, because, as Chappelle, you say, science is broken. Something has happened to science that predates the events of Three Body Problem. Science is in danger, which could never possibly be.
Right. Like, imagine being in a world where people don't trust science. Yeah, you know, science, where you see science and like, yeah, that. No, it seems like we get multiple extremes of that. We literally see scientists being attacked and murdered for being scientists. Like, wait, you studied Einstein? You gotta die, player. And then we also see scientists looking at themselves and saying, dang, all my studies are not making sense anymore. Maybe I should die. And we see all of that in the first episode. So yeah, there's a lot of science going on, a lot that I don't understand, but I do understand that they too are confused. They're very lost as to what is going on in this whole three body problem.
Yeah. So when we begin the show, like you said, Chappelle, there's two different timelines. There's stuff that's happening in the 60s and there's stuff that's happening now. And the stuff that's happening in the 60s is primarily so far set in China during the Cultural Revolution. And I was actually kind of shocked by this first scene. Have you read the book by any chance, Chappelle?
No. I don't know what any of this means. None of this.
I know a few people who are reading the book right now. I think Grace is reading the book right now. Okay. I talked to Taryn. Taryn was like, I got to a certain point in the book and I just had to stop. and I think he and I got to the same place and we're just like, I'm good. I think I'm okay right now. So I haven't finished the book, but a lot of the stuff that happens in the China timeline at the very least is like the very beginning acts of the book. And it like plays out in like, it plays out in chronological order, at least as far as I've encountered it so far. And so this first scene, where this woman, Ye Wenji, is going to watch her father's execution in this really terrible scene where science is being denied and all of this propaganda is being trotted out and she has to watch her father get killed publicly. This felt very Game of Thrones to me right away. Like Game of Thrones, spoiler alert for people, for season one of Game of Thrones, this was like the death of Ned Stark. They just like restaged the whole thing, I felt like.
Yeah, it was the exact same set. And, you know, they just like, OK, stand right here, stand behind this person and we're going to trot this person out on stage.
This young woman will play the part of Joffrey.
Right. You've seen it. Yeah. you see that was they walked into the actor and said that, like, you've seen the scene. We're just going to redo that.
Redo the scene. Yeah.
Well, me, I have a short memory, Josh. So I was watching the scene. I was thinking, well, that woman's father can't die. It's so early in the season. It's so early in the show. There's no way they'll kill that person. He's obviously a main character. And then we see him bludgeoned to death for being a scientist. Nothing else but being a scientist. They even bring out his wife, who's like, yeah, that guy is a scientist and we don't like him.
Yeah, full on. I don't know him.
I don't know him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. Don't know him. Sorry. Yeah. Couldn't be me.
He's fully disavowed, but first by his wife and then by life. He is disavowed as he is. He's publicly murdered. It's horrible. His daughter witnesses the whole thing. And then she gets imprisoned and she finds herself in prison for a while, where she gets a book. She gets a book that allows her to sort of start like thinking more freely. This is all very frowned upon. During this time, she ends up getting, instead of like having like the real book thrown at her, she gets taken to a research station where she is told, if you walk in here, if you come into this research station where we've got sodas and snacks and not prison, then you can never leave again. She's like, I'm in. Let me in. She's very quick. She's like, I'm in. I will do science forever in this place. Get me out of prison. I will be here forever.
Right. But we get the sense that maybe she's got like a bigger plan, right? Because she did read that book, Silent Spring, and it's a book that was written in 1962 about pesticides, right? Like the hazardous pesticide, DDT. And it's like this amazing pesticide that's going to kill all these bugs. But then people start saying, well, is that good, right? Is it good that this one pesticide could just wipe out the entire, you know, this entire species of bugs? And then potentially harm the ecosystem, right? And so she's reading that and like, you can't read that. What are you talking about? Is that science? And so, yeah, she's faced with prison or, you know, the opportunity to go be a scientist in this research lab and then maybe, just maybe, avenge her father, I don't know, or try to make some scientific like developments that can save this world from being, you know, plunged into a world where nobody believes in science and all those people are outlawed and killed.
Yeah, but the station is really bad for birds.
Yeah, bad for birds. Bad for a lot of things. They said people's hair is falling out. Yeah, animals make a weird noise. And birds are just crashing into satellites and dying.
They have this huge satellite. They're just like blasting satellite signals and a bunch of birds fly at it and just drop. That's more than three bodies, that problem. It's a lot of body, bird body problems that they have. But we come to find out that this isn't just like a satellite jamming thing. This is a station that is designed to communicate with life beyond our world.
right.
song.
You know, I was not expecting this. I did not. So I had no clue.
You had no idea that it was like an alien thing.
No clue. Yeah. I'm like, three body problem. Bet, show it to me. And then we start off in China. I'm like, okay, you got, you know, the Game of Thrones people, you got China. I'm thinking, okay, maybe we're going to have some type of empire we're trying to topple, maybe some political drama there. It's like, nope, we're just talking to aliens. So, oh, okay. Wasn't ready for that one. It was a nice little plot twist for episode one.
Yeah. How about this? The aliens on the three body problem are the three body problem equivalent to the White Walkers on Game of Thrones. This threat that is out there looming in the distance that is closing in further and further up against the wall. And it's going to be very climactic and exciting and super satisfying and not just done very quickly when they do finally show up.
Yeah, it's not going to be done very quickly. It's probably not going to be well lit. You know, in the past, we've seen that approach like that, where it's just, let's just make the screen as dark as possible. And maybe nobody knows that we're using this $20 million, but we're keeping like $19 million of it to ourselves and not actually putting it into the production of the show.
It is pretty amazing that in this show, following their series that was accused of being, let's call it poorly lit, in the very first episode, like, turn off the stars, turn them all off.
They're trolling us.
Make it dark. Let's do it.
Just show we have the ability to control the light. Because, you know, some people question that in Game of Thrones. Like, well, maybe there was an issue. Maybe they wanted it to be that dark. Maybe it was your TV. Maybe adjust your television screen because that's why it's so dark. No.
Yeah. Maybe it was your fault, right? Like, it was your fault if it was that dark.
Nope.
Don't blame them.
Nope. Here we can control it all. We could control the lights, but we could also control the stars and make the sky wink at you. I'd never heard that phrase before. Like, have you ever seen the sky wink, Josh?
No, I've never seen the sky. I mean, I've winked at the sky.
Yeah, several times. Me too.
Like every night before I go to sleep, I'm like, all right, thanks for another day. Wink, wink. And then I'm ready to sleep.
Yeah, that's how you go. That's like good night moon. You just wink
at it. It's a little good. There's some good night moon energy behind it. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the sky is going to wink at you is what we hear. And so we're going to get there. So in the modern timeline, we are going to spend a lot of time with like a bunch of, you know, scientists who met during their time at university, at uni, Chappelle. These are all Oxford alums. We have a bunch of characters we meet. Augie. Augie, she's seeing some weird stuff. She sees this countdown timer that is tick tock ticking down to zero, and only she can see it. It's like embedded in her field of vision. She closes her eyes, she still sees this countdown. It's counting down for like 5 days from now. Some sort of nightmare is going to occur. That would be horrible. If like you just couldn't shut your eyes and you just saw something nefariously, enigmatically ticking down to zero.
Yeah. And it's a big countdown. It's not like she has like 2 minutes. She has like 4-9 days, I think, when the countdown starts. It's like, damn, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant like the size of the display.
Oh, that too.
It's also large. Big. It would be very unsafe to, you know, walk
to
around.
Drive, to walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do science. You would think that'd be enough to get her to stop. You know,
I was like, bumping into people. I'd be like, sorry, I couldn't see you. Countdown in the way. You see that, right? Like, no idea.
I'm already a blind human, Josh. Like, I already wear contacts, glasses, all those things just so I can see normally. Please do not put, and I don't know what you would describe this countdown as. It's like little lights.
Yeah.
I can't understand what it is.
You know what? It's sort of, it's like fire. It's like got this like fiery image, not to evoke the dragons again, but it kind of does. It does kind of look like it. It does kind of look like it's like these like sort of like fiery numbers that are ticking down to zero. So Augie is seeing this. No one else is seeing this. Her friend Jin is not seeing this, but she's going to be in an entirely different world in a little while. There's Saul, is somebody who Augie is either fighting or doing another F word with, according to Jack, who is played by Samuel Tarly himself. John Bradley, what did you think when you saw Sam show up on your screen?
When I saw Sam show up on my screen, I thought, oh, dear God, I hope Josh Wiggler wants to talk to me about this show so I can hear his Sam impression. I am so happy. My heart is warm now. I am so happy because I don't. What would I have done?
With my corn chips. I'm now in the corn chip industry.
Yeah, Samuel Tarly has traded in his books for snacks. All of these people are scientists except for Samuel Tarly is just like in the junk food game. That's it.
Mm-hmm. He used to be a scientist, but then he wanted to make money. And he said, all right, bye. And so, yeah.
What does he say? This is the show's language, not mine. Isn't it like suck a D, Pringles? I believe they say at one point.
Yeah. Does Pringles know that we're like, this thing's like very targeted at big Pringles.
Yeah. I think if Pringles catches on to the three body problem, I don't know. Is it any press is good press for Pringles? I don't think Pringles is going to be hurting reputationally anytime soon.
No, but they could benefit from that 20 mil. I think we all could.
I think we all could as well.
Yeah.
So we find out that John Bradley is playing. He's playing like a sort of like a, I don't know. I don't want to call him like a playboy, but he's sort of like, he's like a rogue. He's a rapscallion, this guy. Isn't he such a little rapscallion, Jack, played by Samuel Tarly?
Well, he's surrounded by a bunch of serious scientists, and they're all very much like, we're talking about our nanotechnology and all of our developments in physics and all these other stuff. And then he kind of is like, want some chips,
chips. Yeah. Every show needs a, do you want some chips guy? Back in the Game of Thrones day, this was like the hot pie gig. Like, you guys want some bread? I'll show up every once in a while, offer some bread. So is like Samuel Tarly the new hot pie, the three body problem hot pie? Maybe. Mm. I don't know. We'll see.
Let hot pie be one of the aliens, please. Can we just bring in hot pie for something? Yeah, shared I wouldn't
universe.
Mind.
Shared universe would be great. So these are just like a few of these researchers who are all saying like the world is broken. Science is broken. They're all drawn together because one scientist who is sort of like the linchpin of all of them. Somebody who they all knew and worked with back in the day dies by suicide. She throws herself into a particle accelerator because the particle accelerator has been shut down alongside all of the rest of science. And so she's gone and everybody rallies for the funeral and a bunch of weird things start happening from there. There's this history between Saul and Augie. Augie is visited by an incredible disappearing woman who says, hey, stop doing nanotech research or your countdown's going to go to zero and you don't want it to go to zero. So this person knows about the countdown, Chappelle.
Yeah. And that was, a little bit refreshing. Like, OK, Augie's not completely tripping because Vera, she might have taken her own life, but she was not the first. We'd seen a random body. Remember, you don't talk about body problems. Remember the body with the eyes dug out of it? Yeah, that was the first countdown we see. So we know that this thing is happening to multiple people. And when this mysterious woman shows up, she said, hey, if you quit working, this will stop. You know, this countdown will stop. You might be able to survive it. Because it's not working out for the other people. So I'm like, okay, this is happening to multiple people, but we just don't know why. And so that's happening. Oh, and we do have Benedict Wong out here investigating all of it.
Yeah, Wong is out here taking a break from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Not as Wong, but Benedict Wong is here. I was thrilled to see him show up. He should just be cast in absolutely everything. I think more Benedict Wong, and I think we're closer to world peace. And he's like sort of a detective, but he's been fired from like MI5, Scotland Yard, all of the places. And now he is like a private security contractor for this incredibly wealthy man played by Davos from Game of Thrones. And Davos from Game of Thrones is like the Bruce Wayne of this world. He's just this fantastically wealthy guy. And he has hired Wong, of all people. Clarence is his character's name. He has hired Clarence to investigate all of the various bad things that are happening with science. But it looks like he's just in like an abandoned classroom where Clarence works. Like he's got all of these resources at his disposal and he just like works in like, there's no windows. There's just artificial lightings, like just a cork board. You'd think that he'd be able to have a nicer office for his investigations.
No, I was very excited to see Wong this active, because normally when we see Wong, he's here for a good time, not a long time. Yeah. He's made a very good point of, like, in all the fray of the Marvel movies, just kind of being like, I'm out. And so here he's one of the lead characters, and he is investigating them inside some type of, like, I don't know, classroom panic room. Yeah. He's giving, like, the It's Always Sunny meme, where he's got, like, the lines are drawn, the conspiracies, because he's tracking all the problems with science. But it's all led back to this group of Oxford scientists, right? So he's like, okay, this one died, this one knows this one, this one knows this one. So now he's spending his entire time essentially just stalking these people.
Just trying stalking to them. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not quite sure what he's trying to find. Like, what he's trying to find out, why they're killing themselves, or why science is broken, and why does he think they are the key to it?
Yeah, this I haven't quite figured out either, other than maybe, like, it's just too coincidental to be anything other than y'all doing something to science.
Yeah. Did y'all break it? Did y'all break science? All the time?
You just, like, you won't get in trouble if you admit you broke
just
science.
Just say it. Just say you broke science. You broke
science.
Yeah. Say it, and I promise. Okay, I'm gonna turn around. Whoever broke science, raise their hand. No consequences for whoever it is. And everybody close their eyes. We won't see who it was, and then we can move forward. He's looking for the person to admit that they broke science. And I just don't think any of this group broke it, or at least they don't know they broke it.
Yeah, I don't think they know. So we have Benedict Wong in this role. I'm a little worried for Benedict Wong, I got to tell you.
I think we should be concerned.
I'm concerned. I watched Game of Thrones. You know? I saw that show. I saw the whole thing multiple times. This is like Benedict Wong. You are in the Ned Stark seat, sir. Like, you're giving real Ned Stark energy here. I'm very concerned that Benedict Wong is not going to make it out of season one.
It's wild to me how many times you watch Game of Thrones, only for the downfall to be so swift.
Every once in a while, I think about watching it again, because I haven't sat down and done the whole thing since the whole thing ended.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a good reason why you haven't done that.
It might feel different. Could feel different. Yeah. All right, maybe. As my mind breaks once again, live on the pod. So Benedict Wong, he's going to be searching for the answers. Later that night, the world blinks out. The woman who saw Augie said, go outside midnight tomorrow. World's going to blink out of existence. You're going to want to see it for yourself. She goes outside. She sees it for herself. Saul, who goes with her, who's like her ex-boyfriend, thinks that they're going to get freaky in the quad. But instead, it's the universe that gets freaky, Chappelle. The universe winks at them. Very suggestive. Yeah.
It is very suggestive. I don't know if the universe winks at you.
The universe flirting with me?
Right. Do you wink back? How do you react to this?
I don't know.
I'm getting a little hot under the collar.
Really?
Yeah, the universe is kind of
punching above my weight class a little bit.
Like, right, but also, could you take me out to dinner first? This feels very, like, suggestive and intrusive.
Forward.
Yeah, my issue with Saul is that he's so much of a skeptic, right? Throughout this entire time, he's like, but science is real. We believe science. We trust science. So he sees the universe wink. The episode ends, and I'm thinking, well, science can't explain that. And immediately in the next episode, we see him going, well, that was a crazy deep fake, right? Wasn't that AI wild? What?
Yeah. Immediately he wants to come up with another answer for it. But that's the cliffhanger. So let's say that this was not a Netflix show and this was a weekly TV series. Would you have been hooked after the end of that first episode? Would you have tuned in for the next week? Or is that next episode button looking real good right now for Three Body Problem?
I'm teetering, right? Because on the one hand, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I'm just trying to figure out how much I care about it. And so I knew to talk about it on the podcast, I needed more. Like, I was like, if we just talk about the events of episode one, it's going to be like, well, what? I wonder what that means. And I wonder what that means. But knowing at the end of it that, okay, the universe has winked at us. We know that some of these characters are related as well. You know, we see that in the past, the young woman whose father is killed, she's the mother of one of the other characters. Like, so there's some overlap. And I'm starting to think, okay, maybe I should hit next episode. Maybe I should just check it out, see if I could get more answers. So by that point, I knew, okay, I'm probably going to keep watching. But I need more. I need it to tell me more things, because right now I'm kind of like, all right, if it doesn't start to clear up, I might have to sit this one out.
All right, episode two rolls around. Chappelle and I hit next episode.
We did.
And I will tell you that I am thrilled that I hit next episode. Red Coast is the second episode, and this is the episode that introduces us in like a major way to the video game. The video game virtual reality world here in the middle of Three Body Problem, Chappelle. People are, you know, we're out here living in 2024 and people are out on the streets with their Apple Vision Pros on. Have you seen one in the wild yet?
Never. I've never seen
one. What would your reaction be if you saw one in the wild?
Like, oh, this person has a ton of money. He's a rich person. How do you afford such technology?
Yeah, I'm going to take that.
How do I get that?
Hey, how do I get that?
How do I have that?
but the thing in this show, there is like a helmet. They keep calling the bicycle helmet. Is that right? Am I tracking that right? I think they're like, oh, it's the shiny bike helmet.
Yeah, you see a gold one and then a silver one. And now it looks like there's custom ones for everybody. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got different shaped heads. So it's not like, you know, one size fits all. I guess it is on the Apple Vision Pro. Maybe this is one thing that the makers of the bicycle helmet could figure out, maybe cut down on costs.
Yeah,
we'll customize it for everybody's brain.
If you put on the wrong one, though, a lady will show up out of nowhere and try to chop your head off.
Chop your head off.
So okay, you cannot put the wrong one on.
It's a virtual reality headset, and you put it on, and you get beamed to another plane of existence. Is this an alien planet that they're on? Is it just, it doesn't seem like it's just a video game because it feels very real. And Jin is the character through whom we're going to spend so much time in the video game world. She's going to go to the video game world and basically she's going to meet a man who says, I'm the Count. My name is the Count. And this is my little baby Yoda. Her name is Follower. And you're going to have to help us solve, I don't know if this is a three body problem. It seems like there's many bodies that are in dire situations here in this crazy virtual world because they're living in this planet that has chaotic atmosphere. And sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's really hot. Sun melts you down. And there's only enough shade for so many people, Chappelle. There is a literal three-body problem that happens when Jin, Count, and Follower find themselves at a boulder that's only big enough for two people. They can't fit the tiny little Follower underneath the boulder as well. So Count says, you got to go out into the sun. And Follower's like, oh, man, really?
We just met Jin, you know?
Can we just send her out?
Right. It's a stupid name. They were like, Jin, I'm sorry, your name is not going to play well here. You need to change it.
She's Copernicus. Copernicus. Yeah. Very sciencey.
In the game, she's Copernicus, and she gets a spot in the shade because she's a very important player in this game. I mean, obviously, she's the one with the headset on, so she needs to move forward.
She's a guest, okay? Yeah. Special guest. Yeah.
Special guest. So Follower does something I was not expecting. So I thought, obviously, the sun is about to burn Follower alive. This is the end of the game for Follower. And we're going to learn how dangerous this game actually is. Yeah. Follower goes out like, oh, the sun's about to burn me. Let me lie down and just let it happen. Let me just lie down and rest while the sun takes over and just dissolves me. And it literally does. The sun just dries her out. And, you know, this is horrific. We're like, this poor girl, she just got dried out by the sun. And the Count is like, no, it's all good.
No, it's great. We do that. That's a thing we do.
Yeah. Like sometimes the sun gets hot, we just go dry ourselves out.
So it's like, it was, let's call it concerning. The visual was concerning. The visual was like, Follower goes, lies down. It's like, okay, bye. See ya. Cool.
Yeah, no, don't worry about me.
It's deflate now. Yeah. And the sun just like goes up and she just like deflates like an air mattress when like the air mattress deflates.
Exactly.
And then you roll up the air mattress. And it's like, wow, I can't believe I slept on that last night. That was like a firm mattress. And now it's just like this little wrinkly plastic thing that I'm putting. And so she was like, oh, wow, I can't believe she was a person just now, because now she's just like a wrinkly little bundle and she gets like rolled up like a little canvas bag. and like put into like another canvas bag. And I'm like, yeah, she's fine. We dehydrate ourselves. We'll rehydrate her later. And I'm watching this being like, three body problem is on one right now.
Yeah.
This is some wild stuff. Maybe this is where the money is going, is into dehydrating people and then having to rehydrate them later.
Yeah, when I saw them roll her body up, I screamed because it should not have looked that funny. It was like her skin was just laying there. He's like, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. Look, look, you just press and roll. This is like a technique to it. He does it so quickly. Like, no, we do this all the time. Just rolls her up and says, listen, this is a chaotic era. Obviously, we find a stable era, we can start to reanimate some people. We can start to rehydrate them. So we need to find a stable era. And that's your job, Copernicus. You have to find a stable era so that we can bring back follower. Because as long as we have, I think, what is it? As long as one of us survives, we're all good here. But right. One person has to survive these eras.
Yeah, that's the...
It's the Eras Tour.
It is the Eras Tour. Yeah, it's a chaotic Eras Tour that we are on. How would Taylor Swift do in this video game?
Not great.
No.
Not great. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. 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 Too many followers.
Too many followers. Well, that's the one thing.
They wouldn't all be able to fit under the rock.
They wouldn't, but I think they would be happy to let themselves get dried out by, you know,
yes,
for sure. In the name of Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The army would allow themselves to be dried out. So Jin is like, okay, well, this is really freaky, but I guess like I can't leave while this poor little girl is rolled up in your burlap sack. So I'm going to see if I could do something about that. And she is going to go and like meet with the God Emperor of, what is it? It's like World 137 or something like that. She's going to go and she's like, okay, I think the science says we're going to have a few days. It's Count who says this, right? Count's like, I think that we're going to have a really quiet era for like 60 years here pretty soon. And the God Emperor is like, great. Can we like all like put our hands on the floor and pass the time quicker? And Jin and me, and I assume everyone else was like, wait, what?
What? Like, yeah.
They put their hands on this ground. And in so doing, they like just like what? They like 10X life.
Yeah, I like the video game portion of that where she's like, oh, okay. In a few days, this era is going to change and we're going to be able to rehydrate these people. Cool. Yeah. I'll just wait a few days and I say, just press pause. Okay. Yeah. Hit menu. Yeah. All right. If you put your hand, hit command. Yeah. If you put your hand on the floor, it'll fast forward. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So she got the hint. She fast forwarded. But there was a moment where she said, you know, you're using like celestial, like you're using like witchcraft or magic or what, like astrology or something like that to try to figure out when the next era is. She's like, wouldn't it be better if we use science? And they're like, preposterous. Science is not going to help you with this. Let's just let them use the magic. Let them use the magic and we'll see what happens. So they fast forward a few days. Everything's hydratable. There's water. They're throwing the skins of the people.
Yeah, they're throwing like the burlap sacks of rolled up air mattress people into the water. And we watch them like rehydrate into just naked people.
Naked people.
Obviously, because I was a little surprised, actually, that it took us until midway through the second episode to get our first like mass set of just like boobs and butts and
pubes. Mad pubes. Yeah.
Everywhere. Like flesh. Lots of flesh.
Lots of skin. Lots of ass. I was like, okay, we get it. It's the Game of Thrones, guys. Yeah. They had to make up for it because they went through an entire episode without any nudity. So they had to
all right, we're going to need at least 300 people just like fully naked. Get them out.
Quickly.
Throw them
in the pool and
take them out.
Is this AI or did they really get all these naked people?
I feel like this is what the actors fought against, Chappelle. You can't just AI me as a naked person. You're going to need my nude body or we're going to have a nude body problem. that's what's at stake here. So I think those were real nude bodies.
Yeah, at least be generous with the AI. You know, like if you're going to digitally like impose my image into this water, you know, have some fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
Let me shine a little bit. But Josh.
Yeah.
This is Game of Thrones, right? Or Game of Thrones adjacent. Winter is coming, Josh.
Yes,
did you see it? It came.
It did. It came for them all.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah. So they get out. They're like, sweet. Chaos era is over. This is so great. I was just a bag for so long. I was just like a bundled bag, like tightly bound, firmly wrapped sleeping bag for a while. And now I'm a person again. People who haven't watched the show and are hearing that, like yeah, what? It's like, it doesn't make much sense if you're watching it either. Really weird. And then, you know, Jin, who's like decided like she's going to see this through. She's so happy. We're, you know, I saved follow. Oh, God. Oh, no. It's chaotic. Oh, no. Again. And the winds of winter do howl, Chappelle, as some frosty winds come through and all of these rehydrated people are just like turned into death, broken, like frozen ice limbs and all sorts of gross things. And then a person shows up at the end and says to Jin, like, sweet, you beat the first level. Cool. High five. Level two. You're going to have to do more science.
Right. In level one, you threw out the idea that science could help. People shot you down. You did what was necessary to get through that level. But you found out that, yes, you were correct. There is science to be done. And that's going to help you moving into round two, because this era of winter is going to be a long winter. Very Game of Thrones as well. You know, we got it. Yeah. So we got to figure out a way to get to a more peaceful, calm era, something that's not chaotic. But also, you got to use science to do it, because you tried the other way, right? You tried the count's way, and it did not work. So we're moving on.
So I guess that was the purpose of the game. The purpose of the game for this level, at least, was to figure out that science matters. That, like, if science is broken, that's bad. So in this game, fix science. So the people in this chaos planet initially think that they can just like sort of divine the stars, and they get killed for their hubris. But now level two is going to be all about science. So we'll see how that goes. Jack, the Samwell Tarly character, Jin tells him about the video game, and he gets really excited about the video game, and he puts her helmet on. And then every time he shows up, there is a woman with a sword cutting his head off. So he's like, you know, they never touch Samwell Tarly on Game of Thrones, Chappelle. They have now since like beheaded him in episode two, like four times.
Right. But one thing
last time
I found that it quite interesting, though, that in most things that I've seen like this, right, where there's a video game life of you, you can't die in the video game because your actual person will die, right? Like your avatar is now allowed to just die and you can just start the game over. But
yeah, very Matrix. Yeah.
Right. But we saw Sam get killed like four times. Like every time he put it on, he's like, whoop, it chopped my head off again. It did it again. And it was just kicking Sam out of the game saying, this is not your helmet, so stop wearing it. But is there any downside to dying in this world? Because right now it doesn't feel like it.
No, it sounds like you get to take the headset off and like go eat or like go to the bathroom or, you know, take a break, you know.
It's like, yeah, that was fun. Start it over. We'll play it again tomorrow. It feels like there's no stakes to this game. And that's why I'm kind of confused.
Yeah. I mean, like maybe because like is it just like sort of like they're chopping him out of the game? But like if it happened to Jin
with
her helmet, like would it be different? Maybe. Because I guess we just haven't really seen that in practice. But I had that same thought, too, where it's like, OK, well, we're going to have to figure out how to put some stakes into this, because it doesn't feel like super stakey right now.
No, low stakey, mistakey even. Yeah.
Video game planet was lit, though.
Yeah, no, it was dope. I have questions about this first level as well for Jin, because knowing that she went into this first level and essentially all the rehydrated people were now frozen and killed, but she survived. Was there any way she could have lost this level, or was this just like the practice round? You know, when you start the video game and they give you the tutorial?
Yes.
I feel this felt very tutorial. She didn't make any real decisions here. She just kind of watched the world build around her. And I feel like that's what we spent episode two doing.
Yeah, hold R2 to shoot.
Aim
with the left joystick. Yeah, like she's just like sort of like figuring out the mechanics. It is just level one. I don't know how many levels this goes to, but level two is probably going to be trickier. Hopefully they've... I think I don't need to see any more of the rehydrated bag people. So I hope that I hope we move on from that. I don't think I need to see that again.
Well, they're frozen in dust now. So they're not even, you know, rehydratable, because they're not dry. They actually are frozen. So I don't know if that's a different mechanism, or do they have to now does she have to like put one of them into like a little box and then carry them into the next era to save them? Or does she just move on with, you know, with a new plan now that they're not dried anymore? I don't really know, but I have questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that they're going to release this video game for people? Is this going to be part of like the $20 million an episode budget? Is Netflix going to unroll the three body problem video game?
Probably. Or the reality show like they did for Squid Game.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I hope not. I hope.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. I think I can see it coming. I really do. Yeah. It's right there. It'd be such an easy thing to do to be like, oh, yeah, now we're doing this video game thing again. So, you know, let's make some money off of this. We got $20 million to spare.
Hey, listen, maybe if Netflix has a reality game show where the idea is they're going to restore mankind's faith in science, like maybe that's not the worst thing in the universe. But for some reason, I feel like it's not going to work out exactly the way they want it to work out. Okay, I guess outside of like Video Game Planet, episode two is like sort of, there's like two kind of big things that happen in the second episode. Thing one that happens in the second episode that's pretty good is we have a team up. Augie has been told to the countdown is going to keep going. When it hits zero, it's going to be really, really bad. When it gets to zero, you don't want it to get there. Please stop sciencing before the countdown ends. And she decides that she's like making these like lasers, these nanotech lasers that can slice diamonds without being visible, like big, like sort of scientific advancement stuff that works. And then she says, no, none of that, no more. And the countdown stops. So I guess like the point that's being made is like, quit your jobs and the world won't end. Is that the moral here?
Stop the science. You know, the woman who told her to stop the science, we're led to believe that this, no one can see this woman. Well, like they looked at the footage.
Invisible woman.
Wong looked at the footage and said, hey, obviously you weren't talking to anybody. Nobody. So satellites can't pick up the winking, stars and the sky winking, and then cameras can't pick up this imaginary woman who told her to stop doing science.
Is she an alien? Is this an alien woman?
Yeah, because that's the thing. It'd be different if this was all in Augie's mind, or maybe like, you know, like they're like, oh, we see you talking to somebody, but we don't see you talking to anybody. But the thing, the woman lit her cigarette.
Yeah, she lights the cigarette, and then later she's stalking Wong.
Exactly. And so this woman exists, you know, they've seen her. It's a real thing, right? So whatever she's saying about the science, she obviously knows something. And she told Augie, chill right now. You got some great technology, but if you stop sciencing, everything will be fine. Just stop it. Stop it right now.
She goes and she visits Wong. This like invisible lady goes and visits Wong at a graveyard later in a cemetery. And he's bringing stuff for his wife who passed away. And she says that she brings what? She's like, I bring a red velvet cake to my mom every year. And it's like, that's delicious. But then he leaves and then we see her by a tombstone. I didn't quite catch it, but it was like 1908 or something was when the person died. She a ghost? Is this an alien and a ghost show?
Yeah, the person's name was like Edith somebody. Yeah. And so I was like, but she doesn't look like an Edith to me. No disrespect to her.
No.
I don't think this is a ghost.
Yeah.
Maybe
you don't think that this is ghost Edith?
Maybe it's those are the three bodies. The ghost, the virtual, and then the real world. Maybe that's
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity of the three-body problem.
Is the Father the aliens? Is the Son the video games? And is the ghost the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit. I think we figured it out. We cracked the case.
Don't need to watch anymore. We'll still do it.
Absolutely.
We'll do
it. Yeah, we have to watch more because now I want to know what, at the very least, Josh, don't you want to at least know what level two is?
Yes, I want to go to level two. I want to see like what is level two's version of hydrating and rehydrating people. I'm pretty in on that. I am interested in why is this woman invisible? I am interested in why isn't the technology able to pick up on like the winking stars? There's some interesting things in here, and there's enough money thrown into it that if nothing else, Chappelle, like I have to watch to be like, what was so expensive?
Worth the money.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to see that. Oh, well, the other thing that happens in this episode that's a big deal is we find out that the woman in the past basically invited the aliens to conquer us. She has this theory that if she points the satellite at the sun is going to signal boost her messages and it'll get to where it needs to go faster. Everyone says that's a bad idea because it's sacrilegious to do that. She does it anyway. And then many years later, after she sends out the message through the sun, she gets a message back from an alien being like, yo, you are so lucky that I was working that day. She gets a message back from like a real one on the operator squad. That's like, all right, I'm going to like upgrade your seats and you're not going to have to pay that much. But like, you cannot tell my boss and you cannot call this number again. Then immediately she's like, I'm going to call the number again. And so this alien warns her, Chappelle. She's like, if you send us another message, like the aliens that I live with, they're going to come and invade your planet and take it over.
And she's so, like, bet.
She's like, oh. She's like, great.
I mean, look at the planet she's at right now. She's like, we don't like science. We're tearing down the trees. I'm stuck here doing research forever.
That lady obviously killed my dad. Like, and she's not even sorry about it.
Right. Yeah. She lost her arm and she's like, I'm not repenting. Who repents? Yeah. What are you talking about? So, yeah, she's like, is the aliens coming the worst thing in the world? They say, don't text back. And she's like, no. And so she does. And so I think that maybe she's part of the problem. Maybe she sent for this mysterious woman to now come and tell everybody that the sky is going to wink.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like she rolled out the red carpet for whatever
she
is happening.
She rolled out the dehydrated red carpet.
I'm never going to look at a carpet the same way. Like, yeah. Is that just a person? So she rolled out the human carpet, the three body carpet. And now the aliens are going to show up. And then the other thing is she met, I think that the guy she meets in the past, this young science man, who is like this very, very handsome young man, is, the young version of Jonathan Pryce's character, Jonathan Pryce, the High Sparrow, who we only see once. He's getting the prestigious and credit, and he shows up at the funeral, and that's all we got from him so far. So this is like the young version of him. I don't know if this is like some Professor X Magneto energy starting to kick up right now, Chappelle.
Yeah, and then there's only one other person we haven't really talked about. I can't even remember his name because he's barely in the show, but he gets diagnosed with cancer.
Right, yes.
Was it Will Downing, I believe is his name. And he like, I'm kind of going through right now. I'm diagnosed with cancer. I'm dying. And Saul's like, what? No. And then Jack is like, what? We have money. I can fix this. We can fix this.
Yeah, I don't like Jack's response to this.
No.
Like that bad friend response. Like, I'm going to throw my Pringles money at you and we're going to fix this. It's like, man, I'm telling you, I just went through a lot to try and fix it. And now I'm telling you that it can't be done. Can you just be a good friend? And he's like, no, I've got a new video game and I'm going to come into some more money. So we're going to take care of this. So, yeah, I would imagine that the Will character who has like cancer that has spread, like the aliens are going to come somehow and like cure cancer. This is my bet for what's going to happen with this guy.
All right. Okay, the alien. Well, then that's not a bad thing. This is a three body solution.
Yeah, the three body problem is they're gonna come and they're gonna cure cancer by killing everybody. Humanity is gone.
All the people. Right. Done. Exactly.
Yeah. So
and then they're gonna play a video game because I still haven't figured out where that comes in.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the two that we watched so far. Are you all out there watching Three Body Problem? Let us know. Hit us up on the internet at Round Howard, at Chappelle's _show, at Recap Kickback. If you want to get to Chappelle and his other project going on here, are you broadcasting the Recap Kickback through the sun to get to the listeners faster, Chappelle?
If it'll work, I'll point it right at the red zone. I don't care. That's the goal, right? People just have to go to recapkickback.com and then they can check out all of that and more. And of course, check out the YouTube content, youtube.com/@recapkickback to get all of that. And find me, in all my shenanigans. That's all it is.
Amazing.
Bunch of shenanigans.
Cool. I'm at Round Howard. I'll be here next week. I'll come back to nothing but Netflix.
Yes.
Three Body Problem, Chappelle. There's six more episodes. We'll watch all six. I don't think that I'm going to be able to watch all 30 episodes of the other Three Body Problem TV show, but it's on Peacock. Maybe I'll check out the, you know, the pilot, see how close it is. So we'll watch all the Three Body Problem. If you've got questions about the Three Body Problem, hit us up in the RHAP Facebook group, hashtag RHAP, wherever you do your internet things. We would love to hashtag nothing but Netflix, all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you on all of that. So anything else on Three Body Problem for now?
Nope. Just follow us on Twitter at nothing but RHAP and let us know what you thought about the show, what you know about the podcast. Ask them some questions because we're coming back next week to cover the rest of it.
All right. Three Body Problem, the full spoiler edition, coming to Nothing But Netflix next week. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye. Peace.